This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today, although it is a little later than normal. I'm going to readjust this a little bit because it's not quite in the middle. There we go. It's a little later than normal because I wasn't actually expecting to do the podcast today. I was expecting to do it tomorrow. My wife is working on getting ready for a children's musical at our church. And so she had asked if she could use the recorder because she was finishing up on recording some kids. I said, sure. And then she called me and said, say, you want to do that? I've got your recorder. I said, sure. So the only difficulty here is that with the time change, it gets dark so fast now. So this may be interesting. We'll see. I'm actually not coming from my major client. I'm coming from our church, so it's only about 10 minutes home, but I just sit in the car and gab and gab and gab. And by the time I make it home, I will have the light of the garage. But in the meantime, I still have a little light, and so hopefully that will be sufficient until, you know, we get home. Everything is puttering along. I had a big meeting today with a bunch of department representatives from the various, pretty much all of the departments, major departments up at my major clients in the division that I'm working with right now. So I went through, you know, a good project recap over what we had done over the last several months and told them what was coming and showed them screens and blah, 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 blah. I just talked nonstop for about an hour and just kept plowing through information. But we made it. We made it. You know, nobody fell asleep. I gave them a chance to breathe at one point about 45 minutes into it. I said, okay, let's all just stop and take a deep breath because I could tell their eyes were starting to glaze over. But we made it, you know. Always good to mix in a little bit of humor. It's good. Doing some writing. The writing is going fine. And, you know, we're going to be working on that this weekend as well. So it's going fine. What else? I had some nice meals with friends this week. Did I have more than one? Can't remember. I got together with a buddy this morning. We actually talked about what I'm going to be talking about on the podcast this morning. Chatted and kind of got his opinions on that too. But I think that's about it. So all is well. It's good. I came across an article. I'm fascinated by interpersonal relationships and intercultural relationships. I'm just fascinated by these things. And it's always interesting to me when somebody has a viewpoint that is culturally motivated and they don't realize it's culturally motivated and they just assume that the world works a certain way when the world doesn't necessarily work that way. It only works that way from their perspective. And then they just assume that everybody should think the way they do. Oh, okay, that's great. So that's a really fascinating thing for me personally. So I came across this article called Why Men Hate Feminism and Don't Respect Women. Oh, here we go, you know. I kind of had an idea of how this was going to go, and the article pretty much went like I was expecting it to. So I will just sort of go through the article as he has it with the little highlighted portions I've highlighted. And then after I do that, then maybe I'll come back to some of those highlighted portions and say, well, I don't think this is quite right because of this, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, but anyways, oh, rats. I'm trying to do something clever here. Whoa, that is really bright. I'm trying to use my phone, but I don't want to just completely... Well, maybe that'll be okay. Let's see. I'll look at myself in the mirror. I'm getting a little reflection. But you can't really tell I'm using my phone in my... Maybe you can. I don't know. Anyways, I look like one of those TV shows where for some reason people have left the glove compartment door open so their faces are always lit up. So anyways, the article, Why Men Hate Feminism and Don't Respect Women. This guy's name is Colton Ashbury. So he starts off, I'm not going to hold anything back. Usually when somebody starts off with an article, I'm not going to hold anything back, you just pretty much count on that this is going to be flesh-filled. And it's going to be a skewed perspective, because like, this, he's putting the stake down in the ground, roar, you know? So here he goes. So he starts out, said, I think it's time both men and women to sack up and say what they really think about without being afraid of being ostracized or people being overcritical or not thinking they're cool. Real opinions aren't cool anymore. A real opinion, he goes on and on and on, blah, 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 blah. You know, blah, 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 is saying something that verges on the edge of being too real. Yeah, too real. But never quite gets there so that it remains tolerable and acceptable to our eggshell morality. Okay, here we go. Whatever. So then, of course, he says, you know, women, ladies, I love and respect you. Okay, here we go. And he goes back and he said, you know, feminism probably started, which I agree with, in World War II, because we had so many men fighting overseas that the women had to go and build bombers and stuff. And the women got out of the house and they were actually building something. They thought, yeah, this is pretty cool. And then, of course, the men came home and they're all like, you all need to go back in the houses. Well, at that point, women had had a taste of being out, making their own money. You know, that's pretty cool. So his point in bringing that up was that the cultural acceptance, at least on a superficial level, that women are equal to men, is a young idea. Okay, that's fine. He said, and then he went off on this thing about heels and how that heels are an older idea, because in the early days, both men and women both wore heels, and that they were probably used to keep your feet in stirrups, but now, you know, because there's cowboy boots. Why is it, he says, that an idea so old, which initially had a functional basis, is now a symbol of the sexual exploitation of women? And so then he goes on, you know, talks about that. I'm turning a corner. Wait a minute. Go. There we go. Civilization, this is, as a woman, he said, you've probably had something close to this thought before and sighed, or maybe you're wearing heels around beyond the fact that it makes you look sexier. Okay. Immediately, we see a bias here. Now, we'll come back to this. As a man, you've probably only thought about this along the lines of a brief snicker before resuming of thinking about how badly you want to F that woman wearing those heels. Now, we'll come back to that, too. Okay. So, he says, and yet, in the same way that after 9/11, I told myself not to stigmatize a taxi driver because he was wearing a turban, I can intellectualize the heel situation all I want, but at the end of the day, when I see a girl in a short skirt and abnormally high heels, I immediately think, slut. She's probably a nice girl. You know, she might even have a degree from Yale. Does this change the fact that she dresses as if she's asking to get raped? No. Okay, we're coming back to that. You see, most men don't respect women because women are sexual objects. So are men. The only difference is that we don't have to dress a certain way to prove it. Society keeps a turning because men and women bang and have babies. The only truth in life is sex and death. Okay. So because of that, then, his interpretation is that feminism, the idea, you know, that men and women are equal, well, that's just a fight against nature. He says, I don't mean that chauvinistically. I mean this scientifically. Oh, good. That's good. He said, what really makes us human is that we have the ability to refract our own nature. Okay. Whatever. So why do men not care about feminism? Why are men even at times annoyed by it? It's simple. Most men view feminism as flippant hypocrisy. Okay. So it's flippant, and here's, he says, why. He's addressing this to women. He says, if you stand in front of a mirror, prettying yourself upwards of 30 minutes or so you can attract a man. One moment. Attract a man or increase your self-confidence, I don't respect you and neither does any man. Say your words of self-empowerment all you want, but as long as your aesthetic personality is perceived as being for or towards a man, men won't respect, and I won't respect you on the same level as if you showed up wearing pajamas and no makeup. Okay, then he talks about his girlfriend, how she used to wear a lot of makeup, and he kind of talked to her about that, and, you know, talked her down, and how much better it was, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. So then he goes on to say, now, he said, look, I like short skirts and push-up bras and red lipsticks and thongs and lacy lingerie and polite eating matters and submission to my and smarter than you, my authority, and that maybe I'm more successful and smarter than you. But who bleepin' cares? Why pander my shallowness and preferences and insecurities just because it's not in my cultural DNA to respect you as you are? Seriously. Oh, man. This is a problem of cross-cultural communications. That's what this is a problem of. Cross-cultural communication. This is a problem where, you know, we just don't get it. Don't understand what's happening. So he basically says, look, if you want to be, you want to take yourself seriously, need to stop prettifying, you're up, all that kind of stuff. You know, need to go against the grain. Need to empower yourself, my female lovelies. Okay, we'll talk about that too. I'm getting my mail one first. Don't be afraid to change. Maybe if you didn't act a certain way, you won't effing that hot guy you really want to. Let's see. But who will ultimately demean your sense of self-worth? Maybe it's worth it to you, though. And in the end, I'm a man, and I think about two things, sex and myself. And if I love you, I think about you, too. Oh, man. All my life, I've witnessed... Okay, hopefully... assholes. All my life, I've witnessed assholes get tons of girls. Okay, there's a reason for that. See, they just don't understand the reason here. I was one of those assholes. Maybe I still am by what I've written. I've changed. Oh, not too much. I stopped getting as many girls. It was miserable. It still is miserable. It's hard to find a woman that appreciates the absurdity of the paradox. Treat me like, but not too much like, and then love me when I need you to. Okay. Uh-oh. My wife has some problem with the garage door. So I'm going to pause this for a moment, and I'll see what her problem is, and then I'll be back with you. Okay, so garage door is dead. The opener is dead. Dead. Anyways, so we'll have to attend to that later. So he said, let's call a spade, nature's nature. Okay, right. No matter what you do, there are certain things you can't help but think and feel. We'll get back to that. And if you accentuate, so if you feel like dressing sexy, but also expect men to respect you for more than your legs, boob, lips, and then say so, then don't accentuate those features. But if you do accentuate them, don't be surprised when a man acts like a man and you fall into the same demeaning pathology you've experienced all our lives. Let's start saying things the way we really see them. Let's have a real democracy where conflicts and opinions are robust and plain to see. I raise my glass, though, and he says, let's be the people we want to be, not the people we're told to be, but it starts with you. If you start doing it, another person will gain the confidence. Then maybe we blah, 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 blah. Then maybe we can start over and achieve the next utopia until it too crumbles. I raise my glass to you, girls. Thanks for your time. Okay. Okay. So, what's the problems here? Well, just real quickly, because obviously I am home and in the garage, and I should put down my garage door. What's the problems here? So, first of all, this is obviously a very, very male, very, very male approach to everything. This idea that simply because when I look at heels and a short skirt and red lips, that's obviously that the woman just wants to have sex is a very culturally myopic idea. And it comes from the fact that that's the way men interpret it, but that's not the way women interpret it. Now, I know men would go, come on, I can't, come on, you know. But it's not the way women interpret it. In fact, the way men interpret things in some points is a complete mystery to women. They don't get it. And the problem is, I talked about this in Still Whispers, and I've talked about it over and over again, is that if you let your flesh certainly is going to try to convince you that every woman exists solely as a tool to help you control your sperm count. And your flesh will then convince you that anything you need to like to look at, well, obviously that must just exist for me to do whatever I want, which is an extremely narcissistic viewpoint that all this exists for me. No, it doesn't really, not really. And so this idea of, does this change the fact that she dresses as if she's asking to get raped? Okay, it should change the fact, especially when you understand why women are dressing that way, why women focus on attractiveness. When you understand that piece of it, it actually kind of gets sad. This is what I told the young man I was having breakfast with this morning, when you really understand what's going on internally in women, when they are looking to be as attractive as they can, it really just gets sad. It doesn't really get sexy. Now, I say that as a man who just turned 56, and things actually get more reasonable and get easier when you get older. It's not that I'm dead. I'm not dead yet. But it certainly does get easier. This idea of, well, if you stand in front of a mirror pretty yourself up for upwards, you expect to be okay. Okay, but the problem is they aren't standing in front of a mirror prettying themselves up because they're trying to tell you they want you to have sex with you. That's not why they're doing it. And if you don't understand that, and if you make the stand, well, this is just the way things are, and I can't be any different. All you're doing is you're playing into your flesh. You're never really going to get past this because your flesh has you completely convinced that all these things are true when they're not. No one is controlling you. No one is forcing you to think of women as sex objects. Your flesh is convincing you to do that, and you're allowing it to convince you to do that. Back in the early days, I told my friend this morning, when this used to be more difficult, what I would do is whenever I saw a really attractive woman, I would just pause and say, my God, I thank you. And I've mentioned this before on the past podcast. I thank you that you have placed such beauty in the world. And I pray for this woman, if she's married, that she would just be a wonderful helpmate to her husband. If she has children, that she would be a wonderful help to her children. that she would be a wonderful daughter who assists her mother and her father in the things that they're trying to accomplish, that she would find something for herself that would bring her joy, and that she would find her epic and find her adventure. I just pray that her life will be wonderful. Because when you do that, when you re-image, the fact of the matter is, as I told my buddy this morning, there are women in all of our lives that even if they wear heels and a short skirt, that doesn't necessarily mean we want to have sex with them. Our sisters, our mother, you know, those things. So there's a way for us to say no. And the difference is we consider those to be real people. And the reason we consider themselves because to be real people is we've decided that they're real people. And what we've decided is that everyone else except our really close relatives, you know, are objects. And we can undo that mindset. We don't need to do that. Now then, he says all his life he's witnessed assholes get tons of girls. Okay, well, this begins to give us a hint as to why this is when you understand what women are doing and why women are doing what they are. And what it comes down to is this. It's what I've been talking about for the last several weeks. What it comes down to is that women, there is a, I got a message. Oh, hey, okay, I got to give him a call back. That's my guy who's roofing. Women grow up in an environment where they do not feel safe. Because they look around, they realize that men are stronger than they are. They realize that they don't understand men and why men act the way they do. I knew a young lady once who was a fellow coworker, and we were talking. She had read Still Whispers, and I made the quote to her as we were talking about male-female relationships that the great lie that the flesh tries to tell women is that women exist as a tool to help them control their sperm count. And she went, no. And I said, yes. Yes. If you just listen to your flesh, that's what the flesh is going to tell guys. And she went, no, really? Because she just didn't get that. She didn't understand it. And women exist in a world, as I've said before, where there are these insane lions that they don't really understand. And when they're out by themselves, when they're walking around, you know, they don't know at any given time when they're going to get attacked, they don't know. So what's their solution for this? Well, there's a couple of different solutions that you could have. One is you could decide, I'm going to do a conceal and carry and learn how to shoot guns. The other one is I could decide I'm going to go out and learn self-defense. I'm going to go out and go get stronger. I'm going to go to CrossFit. You know, I'm going to make myself into something formidable. Of course, that's a lot of work. You know, honestly, that's a lot of dedicated, hard, day in, day out work. And it may or may not be successful. I mean, there would still probably be a man who could overcome a woman like that. But on average, she could probably handle most of the guys out there. So that's certainly no guarantee, but it's an approach, and at least it would lend to greater confidence that I am in control of my situation. But when women look around, and they take note, especially in our society, when women look around, they look at the other women who are being protected. And what they see is that attractiveness does not necessarily help a woman get a guy, but that attractiveness allows them to be worshipped and protected. And so a woman is not really looking, on average, I'm not saying everybody, okay, on average, the base flesh lie that the flesh tells women is, you know, you need to find somebody else to protect you. You need to find somebody else who's going to take care of you. And from a fleshly standpoint, many women do not approach relationships interested in finding men who would be good relationship material. They are interested in finding men who will protect them, who will give them a safe place to build a nest and raise their children. And you say, well, why do they go after, you know, assholes? Why do they go after these ugly guys? Well, because those guys are usually hot-tempered. They're usually somewhat violent because you know that if someone tries to lay a hand on you, that guy is going to take that other guy's head off. And that's what you're looking for. That's why the bad boy persona has the draw that it does. Because women have a tendency to expect that things are going to be different for them. That even though this guy's going to take off the heads of all the guys around him, well, if I charm him and if I'm attractive enough, then he'll protect me and worship me and do what I want. And they can go through cycles where guys are treating them bad. But the fact is, when they're with this guy, they get relief from this gnawing fear inside them. That they think, I'm okay now. Because this guy will protect me. You know, he may be bad to me, he may emotionally abuse me, he may physically abuse me. But, you know, the devil that I know and that I have is better than the devil that I don't know that might still be out there. And women are very good at adapting themselves to situations if it means they will feel safer. And so a lot of what is happening in a woman's need to be attractive isn't about dressing herself up so men will think she's sexy. It's about dressing herself up so that men will be attracted to her and maybe she can find a pit bull that will think highly enough of her that will keep her protected. And if she has to have sex occasionally to kind of keep him interested, okay, well, she'll do that because, you know, that in itself soothes her fears as well. But it doesn't solve her fears. And she'll put up with stuff just to get away from that gnawing anxiety. And the sad part of this is then that when men look at that and completely misunderstand that, when Hollywood looks at that and knows exactly what it's going on and exploits that, when all of the manufacturers of all these beauty products out there exploit this, what they're really doing is taking advantage of fear and anxiety just to sell you a product. And I find that abhorrent. I find that terrible. That you're going to prey on someone's anxieties and fears and insecurities. Of course, that's pretty much marketing, isn't it? You know, fears and anxieties just to get you to buy their product, even though they know that that product is not going to solve that problem. But that's marketing. And I think it is completely unuseful for a man then to come swooping in with his opinions when he doesn't actually understand what's going on in the average female psyche. And in his interpretation is, well, they're obviously just doing that to look sexy so that men will want to have sex with them. No, they're obviously doing that to try to get some relief from the gnawing anxiety that's within themselves. And by dressing up, women feel like they're of more value because there's more potential for her to earn the protection of someone who can keep her safe, even if the guy happens to be a, quote, asshole, unquote. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.